Joining us now is Steve Lohr of the New York Times. He's right here in the studio. And thinking about the financial bailout, eight bankers were up on Capitol Hill this week facing the lawmakers. It was quite a confrontation. There's a discussion within the administration of a bad bank to store toxic assets as a way of shielding the other banks. But maybe there's even a more disturbing premise on the table here, and it's sort of the elephant in the room. Maybe the banks are already bad. Maybe what we already have is a banking system that, if you do the math, is fundamentally insolvent. First of all, Steve Lohr, if you do the math, are the banks in the United States essentially insolvent?
Some of them are, and the assessment that we did was to take a look at this issue, talk to a bunch of financial economists, and they're basically where they come out is that if you look at the system as a whole, and the current trends of unrecognized losses, the answer is probably yes.
Wow. Let's talk about this term insolvency. It is a bit of a term of art. I mean, if somebody came to me tomorrow and said, pay everything you owe today, and I said no, I'm insolvent. In many ways, if you do the math, almost everyone is insolvent almost all the time if they had to pay off all their debts. How do you calculate it here?
Yeah, and there are differences. I mean, it's the common sense business definition is that you're, as you're saying, John, that your liabilities exceed your assets. In banking terms, they look at this in terms of in this context of these the rising losses from these bad loans and toxic securities overwhelming their assets. So it's similar but a little bit different. And the issue here is that unless you resolve that problem, the banks are not going to lend as we hope they do, and the sort of wheels of commerce don't keep moving. Mm-hmm. So this is ultimately is not about the banks; it's about the economy and people.
Let's try to do the math here, and there's categories of assets,
sure.
And I wonder if you could separate them. There are the really bad assets. There are the assets that actually look like bad assets, but if you look closely at them, they're actually really good. Then there are good assets, stuff like stocks and bonds that actually aren't really affected
treasury
by this.
Treasury
bonds, sure, that sort of thing. I heard a number last week from an economist that said that if you add up all the sort of questionable assets and liabilities in the system, it's like something like $655 trillion against the entire economy in the world of 55 trillion. How do you deal with a number like that?
That one is those kinds of estimates are not what we were trafficking in here. Most of those, I think, come from the face value
right.
of some of these complex insurance products, for example. The most recent estimates, and the reason I did this story, I was asked to take a look at the
right.
issue. How should we think about it? And this is a news analysis piece I wrote.
And thank goodness you did, actually. Yeah,
but is that we people like Noriel Roubini, who's an NYU economist, have looked at this, and he's been pessimistic in the past, but he's been right. If you look at the snapshot of the current situation, the banks in total have a $3 trillion what are very likely, by his assessment, losses yet to be recognized. About half of that, $1.8 trillion, is held by the U.S. banks, the rest
right.
by other financial institutions, and particularly Europe and other banks around the world. That gets you to $1.8 trillion. And his view, and that of others, is that the whole, if you will, the balance sheet of American banks is on the order of $1 trillion.
Now, part of the question of solvency is if the clock ticks long enough, if there's a long enough time for the payback, everything's going to be okay. If it comes to term shorter, then there's a real catastrophe. How does the timeline look?
At present, the timeline looks pretty lousy, which is with a deteriorating economy. But that is precisely the point and what all the bankers will tell you. And this, in banking terms, this is called forbearance, which is basically the time will heal. And in some past crises, that has certainly been the case. In the early 80s, in the Latin debt crisis, the nine money center banks were at risk for more than three times their capital. They weren't forced to mark to market, today's prices on those loans, and they came out.
They came out fine.
They had losses, but it wasn't catastrophic. And we sort of did the same thing with savings and loans.
Can the government and the Obama administration basically extend the timeline here? Is that their main lever?
Yes, but they don't want to, because unless you solve this issue of these bad assets, we're not going to get the kind of lending we need to get the economy going. So their proposal this week was to set up this public-private fund to essentially create a market and to get prices and for these bad assets and get them off the bank's books. Most people, or a number of the experts that I talk to, think this is inadequate, that ultimately the government's going to have to go in, separate the good from the bad banks, take the bad assets and sell them off again as we did in the resolution trust, in the savings and loan case.
Some of those banks did not come back, except now we're talking about the big banks tiptoeing on the edge of insolvency. We're going to have to say it out loud if we have any chance of dealing with this financial crisis. Steve Lohr, thanks so much for providing some clarity there.
Thanks, sir.
Steve Lohr is a New York Times reporter whose current piece in the New York Times is all about calculating whether the banks are not just bad, but fundamentally insolvent.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.